We did verse 1 and just a little portion of verse number 2. And then in this morning service, we looked at what would be considered the model prayer in verses 2, 3, and 4. Tonight, the goal was to try to get through Luke 11, 5 through 13, but I think we're only going to get through the first portion of it. I'm not sure if we will finish it on Wednesday night or we'll have another topic about prayer on Wednesday night, but looking forward to this thought, Lord, teach us to pray. If you were not here for Sunday school or Sunday morning, the thought process for the whole day is our prayer theme. And like I said, it was interesting in telling the cool stories of the Bible. There's a lot of great stories when it comes to prayer in the Bible, but the Lord gets laid upon my heart to once again teach about the importance of prayer and how to pray. We think about it, a few years into the ministry, the disciples come to Jesus and say, Lord, teach us to pray. And it's something that it was a learning, something that's growing. What does the Lord teach him? Something new or different? Well, not at the beginning. He goes back to the basics. He teaches them the model prayer once again. Repetition is important. Repetition is key in learning. Our children's church program set up with that with the on the early morning children's church is that we teach a Bible story and we teach a Bible word that was found in the story and then we teach a verse that refers back to it and then we tie it together all with a lesson that reminds them of one really challenging but important Bible truth. And this prayer thing is something that I think many people miss out. Jesus is not done teaching us in prayer when he finishes with the model prayer. He realizes who he's speaking to and he goes a little bit farther. So in the model prayer in Matthew 6, there's an amen. It's done. They go on to a new topic. Here, they continue on in verse number 5 to teach a little bit more. And then after verse number 10, they kind of tell a parable. And then in verse 11 through 13, he teaches even a little bit farther. So today we're going to focus on verses 5 through 10. Through my studies, I came across a thought from another preacher that talked about the keys to opening or the keys to answered prayer. So we're going to look at that thought with keys. I don't know about you, but I have, in my mind, too many keys. I don't like a bunch of keys in my pocket, but I don't really know any of them I can get rid of. I used to think, hey, I could just leave some keys up in my office and just grab them when I know I'm going to go unlock something. Doesn't work. As you get older, you forget, and you have to go all the way back up the steps and come down. So I'd rather be lazy instead of just, you know, having so many keys in my pocket. But there is a key that unlocks prayer. And that's what he gives us in verses 10 all the way through 5 through 13. There's 7 different keys. We're going to look at 4 different things today, and I'm praying that this will be a help and encouragement to you today. Sometimes many of us go to prayer with the point, I need to get done. Okay, I got this amount of time. Let me jump in. Let me get done. Let's be done. We give our God our list. We do our duty. And now we think we're finished. But we miss the most important thing. We miss God when we do that. We miss God's will. You miss coming into the presence of God. That door opens and we enter into his presence. So tonight I'd like to look at some keys that would unlock the doors. The secret is when we pray, we desire to enter into everything that God's planned for us. Remember what we've talked about. It's not about getting our will done in heaven. It's about God getting his will done in our lives. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So the secret is really getting involved, opening up the door, and finding out what God wants for us. Most people don't pray like that. Most people can't say verses 9 and 10 and claim in his promises that they have accomplished because they don't look at it that way. But if we would consider, if we would truly consider, we desire to enter into everything that God has planned for us. Sometimes we view prayer as getting what we want, but prayer should be getting what God wants for our life. So we're unlocking a door that desires what God desires for us. We want to enter into everything God wants for us. The prayer that God answers always starts with him. I think it was Spurgeon that says, the prayer that God answers is the one that starts with him. When you pray the way that God wants you to pray for the thing that God wants you to pray, guess what? He's going to give it to you, as it looks like in verse number 10 when he says, ask and it shall be given you, seek and shall find, knock and shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. I've heard preachers use this illustration before, and I thought it was interesting. I don't know how biblical it is, because I don't think this is really going to happen. I think our knowledge is going to be expanded up in heaven. We're going to know everything we need to know. But they say, could you picture once you get to heaven, and someone, and the illustration usually is God takes you to this room, and you see a wonderful amount of answered prayers and blessings that you never took part in. And the reason why you never took part in, and you ask, Lord, what is that? And the illustration goes, those are all the prayers I wanted to answer for you. Those are all the blessings I intended for your life. But you never asked for them. You remain silent. And like I said, textually, scripturally, I don't think we're ever going to see that room per se. But I bet you there's a lot of things that we miss out on because we don't pray. Or we don't ask the Lord to teach us to pray like you should. The power comes from God. The authority he gives us for prayer, these are all keys. So let's read here in Luke chapter 5. And inside this short story, I think there's four different keys that we can learn about that helps us to be interested into everything that God wants us to have. It's an interesting way to look at prayer, and I think it's the way we should look at. God desires something for us. He wants something in our life. And prayer is just entering into his presence to do those things he desires for us anyway. Those things he wants to bless us with. Those things he wants to give us to. And how do we unlock that? Because we seem like we miss it. And sometimes the reason why we don't pray is because of sin. Because when we begin to pray and seek after God, God reveals things to us that he's not able to bless in our lives. And we say, I don't want to give that up. So let's look at this little parable. It says in Luke chapter 11, verse number 5, and he said unto them, which of you have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey, he's come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are in bed with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. And I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for prayer. I thank you for the ability to pray, the authority we can pray with, that we can come in Jesus' name. And Lord, that I pray in our hearts that you would teach us to pray, that we see the opportunity that's here and that we don't miss out on the opportunity to find out what your will is for our lives, that we would enter into everything that God has planned for us. That whatever it is that you give us, whatever opportunities that you give us, whatever resources you give us, that we would seek your face about what you want us to personally do. Lord, help us to grab a hold of what prayer is. And Lord, would you teach us to pray? Lord, teach us to pray. Help that to be our overwhelming desire. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 16, verses 18 and 19. The Bible says, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That is a famous verse. The next verse is also famous, and it says, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Jesus is not just saying, hey, look, I'm going to build my church and I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell are not going to prevail against it. He gives them access, though. Listen to that access. He says, I will give unto thee keys. He says, and what are the keys? I believe the keys are prayer. Prayer is our connection between heaven and earth. It connects the two worlds. And he says, I give unto these keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth, thou shalt be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth, shall be loosed in heaven. There's so much on the other side of the door that's available to us. There's so much that I believe God desires to bless us and to use in our lives. There is so much that he wants to do. And the key that God has given to us, it's the key of prayer. It's just whether or not we're willing to unlock that door and say, God, I'm willing to enter into whatever it is you teach me, show me, direct me, and lead me. No, we're not talking about health and wealth, prosperity type gospel. Of course we're not, because that's not always God's intention. Often that is not God's intention for our lives. But he does tell us that he will, if we seek, we'll find. If we'll ask, he'll tell. He does want to make his will available to us. And we have these keys. We have the key to open up the door into exactly what God wants us to do, exactly what every opportunity he desires for our lives. But so often behind those doors, they remain shut because we don't take time to pray. Or if we do take time to pray, we don't take time to pray the way that God desires for us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. So first thing, the first key, we're going to use the illustration of a key because I kind of like the idea of the door that's open. And there's first key is the key to answer prayer is the key of opportunity. The key of opportunity. Now we read this. And I get this, and I read verse number 5. Which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves? How many of us would think the first thing in our mind is, what type of friend is that? I mean, come on. Someone's coming to my house at midnight to ask me for bread? I mean, that's not really the type of friend that I really desire. If he was a friend, he probably won't be a friend much longer. But the reality is, we've got to remember this. We have an opportunity for prayer. You are not bothering God when you come to him in prayer. It's whether it's midnight, 3 a.m, 4 a.m. And I know some of us have those close friends, and some of us, so if you had somebody, you say, call me whenever the day, whatever the time, whatever the hour, I want to be there for you. I want to be that type of friend. But many times we feel uncomfortable, uneasy. We don't want to bother somebody, but we are never a bother to God when we go to him in prayer. Not only that, we actually bother him when we don't pray to him. We're never a bother to him when we go to him in prayer. We're a bother when we don't pray to him. You're not trying to convince God to give you something he does not want for you. I think this is the disconnect for so many people. God, I know I'm coming to you again, and I'm asking. God's not going to give us something that he does not want for us. Prayer changes us to help us understand what God desires for us. And we're not trying to convince him. That's not our prayer time. I'm not trying to get my will done up in heaven. I'm not trying to convince him to give me something that he does not want to give me. But if prayer is done right, we are approaching God and we're saying to God, I know you want what is best for me. And I want to find out what that best thing is. And how often do we pray like that? That's why I think sometimes we don't get our prayers answered. God, I believe in you. I believe you're all powerful. I know you can do all things. You know all about me. You know what's best for me. And God, I'm here today to find out what you want me to do with my life. What you want me to learn from these scriptures? What you want me to do in this situation? How you want me to handle this? I'm seeking wisdom. I just want to find out what you want. It is literally laying a hold onto what God wants for us to have anyway. Think about that in prayer. It's what God desires for us anyway. And that's what we're asking for. God, will you give me those things? You're coming to a friend who wants to hear from you, the creator God of the universe, a friend you can call at all times. The door is always open. It's not like the friend in this story. Be honest with you, this is not the type of friend. You think about this friend, what does he do? He says in verse number 7, and he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are abed with me, I cannot rise and give thee. That is not God. This is a contrast. We don't have a God that sleeps. Remember, Elijah was the one that says, hey, maybe Baal's asleep. Maybe you need to yell a little louder to wake him up. We don't have a God that sleeps. We don't have a God that is not willing and interested to answer our prayers. He desires to hear our prayers. He wants to answer his prayers. This is a contrast there. God is always pleased to hear from you. God always wants to give you direction. God always wants to reveal his will to you. Think about what it says in Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I love that word, freely. You think about it, if he was willing to give up his son for us, what is he going to hold back from us? If it was one of my sons and I had to give my son up for a cause or a purpose, what else would I be willing to hold back? I mean, what monetary thing would I not be willing to give to be able to save my son? What other action would I not be willing to do? Would I not even be willing to give myself? Of course, because I love my sons. And with this thought is, hey, if God was not even willing to spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with us also freely give us all things? Prayer is just understanding and grabbing a hold. God, you know what is best for me. Will you please show me what's best for me? Give me those things that's best for me. Lord, if you don't want me to have it, I'm okay with that because it's not what's best for me. And what is your need today? Do you really think God's going to hold back a blessing from you? If it's what he wants for you, what he intends for you, what is it your need today? What is the great need of your soul? All the prodigal had to do was, he came home and his father, I'm no longer worthy. And what does God, the father interrupts? The father begins to say, hey, it's great. God speaks to us and he desires for us. His son has access at that moment in time to everything the father has. The father's house, he has access. It is an amazing opportunity. God welcomes you. So I heard one preacher said, it's as if God puts the key underneath the mat, and so that way you can come home anytime you want. But the reality, God's already given you the key. It's there. You don't even have to pull up the mat. All you have to do is pray. All you have to do is, God, I want what you want for my life. God, this is a tremendous opportunity that the God of heaven has given us a key, the key of prayer. And when you use this key, it unlocks an amazing opportunity. I don't want to live my life missing the opportunities. And I know the illustration we mentioned earlier may have been something that is hard for us to understand and figure out. But can you imagine if God could pull back the veil and said, hey, if you would have been asking, if you would have been seeking, if you would have been searching, these are all the blessings I could have provided. These are all the opportunities that you could have had, the opportunity to serve me. And this is all the difference you could have made. And I don't think that veil is ever going to be shown. But I think if we look back in our own life and we see our prayer lives and we see how they've been lackluster and how they've been just things that we've been walking by faith and not, we've been walking by sight instead of by faith, we would come to the realization, I have missed out on a lot of things that God had planned for me. I'll testify to that. I was someone that ran from God's call to preach. It was a number of years before God finally got a hold of my heart and straightened me out and says, hey, it's either now or never. I'm going to stop calling you. I'm not going to stop pursuing you about it. But there was years of my life that I wasted. Yes, I did serve the Lord in a limited capacity. But if he could have pulled back that veil, here's 10 years of your life that you could have given over to the Lord. Imagine what more you could have done. And that's when we connect, we unlock the key of opportunity. When we take that key and we open up that door, the opportunities are limitless because what God desires for us is always what's best. And I do not want to miss what God desires for us. I do not want to live my Christian life. I do not want to sit there and forsake the things of the world. I do not want to sit there and do the hard things and miss what God is trying to tell me. And miss what God has planned for me. If I'm going to just miss what God's planning for me, then maybe I should just live like the world because it seems like they're having a good time. But the reality is that it's going to fail. It's going to give them miserable. It's not going to last. I don't want to miss it. But we miss the opportunity many times when we don't use that key to unlock it. The open door is an access to God and all that God has intended for you. Say, Pastor, I'm a little nervous. I don't know what God's going to make me do. You know there's a God that loves you. And he's giving you this key to open up the opportunity. So I don't know what that opportunity is. It's what God desires for you, what God wants for you. What better thing could there be? And that's what I truly believe. If we look at prayer and say, God, I know you love me. I know you know what's best for me. God, I just want to get in for what you want me to do. God, I want your will to be done in heaven. As your will is done in heaven, I want it to be done on earth also. So God, whatever it is that you intend for me, whatever it is you want me to have access to, that's what I'm asking for. And that's when God says, here, you can have it. This is what I desire for you. The second thing I want you to see is the key of charity. The key of charity. You think about it, what it says in verse number 5, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. This is a thought here that I never gave much thought to. And this thought process there, he's not asking for himself. He's asking for a friend. And I believe this is something he's not seeking for himself. He's seeking the bread for someone else. It's not only seeking for ourselves, it's seeking on behalf of someone else. Remember what we talked about in verse number 3, give us day by day our daily bread. It's this thought, it's this option that we should not be praying selfishly. It's not only seeking for ourselves, but we should pray on behalf of others. Remember, in prayer, you don't ask for yourself, but you seek the needs of others. Now, there's nothing wrong. God tells us to ask. God tells us to seek. But so many times we become selfish in our prayers. Have you ever taken time, and I know this might sound kind of strange, but as you pray, listen to yourself pray. What is your prayer about? Many times it's about us more than anything else. Now, we already introduced this morning that, yes, it's about the relationship, and it begins with the opportunity of praise. We should praise the Lord. And then it continues on and how God deals with us meeting our needs and deals with us and our sins and repentance. But if we listen to most people's prayers, the majority of it would be about them. And I'm telling you that it unlocks a door when we begin to pray for others. Say, what door does it unlock? Well, it begins, as we mentioned this morning, not only do we see him high and lifted up, we see the world as he sees it. And how we begin to pray for the world and how we begin to see individuals' needs and desires. There are some that I question whether or not how seriously they pray when they don't have compassion towards others. When they don't see people through the eyes of God and they don't see situations through the eyes of the Lord. Instead, they see it selfishly. And I'm wondering, when has the last time you went and prayed about this? Now, I'm not saying praying selfishly, but God, I want you to tell me what your will is for my life in this situation, because there's a struggle here. There's a problem here. And often if we hear, we're going to say, well, you know what? I am going to forgive. I want to be right with God and I want to be right with man. God, would you use me as a light that would show the light of Christ to whatever individual, whatever situation? But when I hear people get bitter and they get angry and say, I can't stand that person, I'm not going to deal with that, I struggle, let's just throw them away. I'm wondering, when have we really truly prayed about it? Because as we pray, God makes his will known in our lives. God puts his desires in our hearts. I believe it unlocks a door, that charity unlocks a door, that when we learn to pray for the needs of others, it's something that we get a greater liberty to pray for those own things in our lives too. One thing you say, well, Pastor, if I sit and spend the rest of my time praying about everybody else, what about my needs? God knows everything, doesn't he? I think it's amazing that if you begin to pray for others, now once again, God does tell us to cast our cares upon, and God tells us to pray for our daily bread, and pray, give us our this day our daily bread. But I think that as you're praying for others, cannot God put you on the heart of somebody else who's praying? God can bring your heart and your mind and your need and your desires to someone else, and they could be lifting you up in prayer. We bear one another's burdens. And if you're truly in tune with what God desires and God wants you to pray for somebody else and you're communing with God and those desires, someone else is communing with God and God puts your heart and your desire in them, it's life-changing what God can do. And that's all we want to do with prayer. We just want to enter into what God desires for us. We have the access. We have the key of opportunity, but we have the key of charity that we can carry one another's burdens. We can have God change our hearts and give us a heart that is going to be compassionate and loving and kind if we will willingly open up and use that key of charity. And I believe God definitely will take care of our needs because we have put others before us. You think about it. Let this mind be you, which is also in Christ Jesus. But the verses before that, what does it talk about? It says, look unto others. It talks about esteeming others better than yourself. Now, this is foreign to most prayers. You go home tomorrow and pray like you normally do. And you listen and you think, man, my list of prayers, my list of petitions are mostly for me. And once again, he wants to commune with us. But as we start unlocking that door of opportunity and say, God, I just want to enter in whatever you want for me, whatever that looks like. This is how I want to pray. God, show me what you want me to do in that situation. But as we learn to pray for others, I believe God lays you on the hearts of other people. Bread physically is something that's really like he's talking about here. But hunger for spiritual things, use that key of charity. Unlock this door of prayer and let God show you what he can do in a person's life. Not only do we see this, we see a key of necessity. This is one of the things I've always, when in this passage, in this opportunity, I've always emphasized. It's found in verse number 6. For a friend of mine is in his journey and has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Nothing to set before him. You ever gotten to the point where you just want to give up? I can't handle this. This is too much. This is asking too much. What happens is we get to the end of ourselves. The psalmist talks about being at wit's end. The psalmist talks about wanting to die. It gets to, but when we get to the end of ourselves, that's when God can begin to work. When we realize we have nothing to offer this world, I don't have anything to offer my family. I don't have anything to offer this. Spiritually, I can do nothing. Like the Bible says, you can do nothing without me. For without me, you can do nothing. Is when we get to that spot and we get to that moment that we understand that the key of necessity opens up the lock that God says, now I can use you. You've gotten to a spot where you realize it's not about what you can provide, not how much of your talents and your abilities you can use to make a difference in someone's life, but instead the necessity that happens, and he says spiritually that we can make a difference in someone's life. It's when we are weak that God makes us strong. It's in our weakness that his strength is made perfect. Now, this is the time and moment when we realize that I need God and I'm asking God. That is when God says, that's when I can use you. That is when God applauds and say, finally, it's at a moment in time that he's in a spot that I can use him. I have nothing to give unto my friend. Without me, we can do nothing with God. But think about that. And we hammer that home, and I know I use it. Without me, you can do nothing. But with him, what can we do? We can do all things. Yes, we turn around and say, yes, without me, you can do nothing. Make sure you realize you're nothing without God and you're spiritually bankrupt. Remember, blessed are ye that are poor in the spirit. But what's the reverse side? With God, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Once again, that we put that emphasis, I can. The emphasis should be through Christ. It's not about what I can do on my own. It's about what I can do through him. And that's when we come to this prayer, there's an opportunity and there's charity, but there's a necessity. Prayer is us declaring our complete and total dependence upon him. It's not just good that we have access. No, I must come to the Lord and I must be desperate. That's when I believe we truly unlock that door, what God desires for us. God, I think I should do this. What do you think, God? God, I don't know what I should do. God, will you show me? Will you direct me? Will you lead me? When you come to God without realizing your dependence, many times all we're doing is giving a religious speech. We talked about, we're not praying, we're giving a religious speech. And we want others to hear, but we think about that Pharisee that we learned about on Wednesday night. It talked about how what did he do? He trusted in himself and he prayed with himself. True prayer is, be merciful unto me, I'm a sinner. I have nothing and I cannot offer this world anything. Prayer is not intended to puff us up. Prayer is intended to bring us low. It helps us understand that we are nothing and totally dependent upon God. Blessed are the poor in spirit. When we realize, God, I have nothing. He says, well, if I have nothing, then I need to talk to God. Yes, that's the whole point. I need to spend time with him so he can enable us and he can make us and he can demonstrate. He can show us exactly what he wants for us. We can enter into what he wants for us. Say, Pastor, I don't see that. I don't understand that. We need to unlock our prayer closets. So we need to seek the power of God. It is that moment when I understand I'm wicked that I will receive mercy. I'm never going to receive the mercy of God until I'm willing to repent. Until I understand I'm a sinner, I'm never going to be saved. And until I'm willing to confess and forsake it and see my own wickedness, I'm not going to receive that mercy of God. It's not until the moment I understand my weakness that I receive the strength from God. It is in that moment when I understand my ignorance that I receive wisdom from God. It is in that moment when I acknowledge my helplessness that I receive God's help. It's in that moment when I acknowledge my inadequacy that I learn of His sufficiency. It's not until I realize who I am and realize that I have an opportunity to enter into everything God wants from me when I unlock it with the key of prayer. The power of nothing is when we come to nothing. And that's when we see here this verse, this man in this parable is given. There's some comparisons here and there's some contrasts that are given. The one comparison is this friend that's saying, I don't have anything. I mean, who in the world is going to want to go to somebody's house at midnight and ask for 3 loaves of bread? Most people aren't going to want to do that. I know I'm not going to want to do that. And it'd be out. The reality is many times we do not like asking for help ourselves. I'd rather do it myself. Now, I'll go help somebody else. I'll go start something for somebody else. I'll ask to borrow something for someone else. I'll work hard for someone else. But I don't want to ask somebody else to help me. And that's something I've had to learn over the years, that God uses other people and individuals to help be a blessing and encourage me, and God works through people. But there's a reality that the power is when you realize you have nothing and you can do nothing apart from the power of God, that God says, here's the strength. Think about Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17. It's that church of Laodicea we mentioned to on Wednesday night. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. The concern that our prayers are not our prayers at all. It's the idea that we're just saying to God, hey, God, I'm doing good. Thank you for all you've done for me. Look at what I've done. That's what the Pharisee did. Well, are we really truly praying, or are we just saying a religious speech to try to impress people? When we commune with God, we enter into His presence. And this prayer, true prayer, is agreeing with God and saying, God, I need you. I know that I need you. I know that I'm wretched. I know that I cannot live this Christian life on my own. I know I cannot make a difference for anyone else. I can have nothing to offer this world. I have nothing to offer these people. I have nothing unless it's you. And Lord, you lead me and you guide me to see ourselves as God sees them and to say what God says. We become thankful for His mercy and that He's there. And that in that church of Revelation chapter 3, they didn't get it. They says, oh, we don't need anything. Look at this. Look at all these things. Look how. And He says, you don't even realize that you're wretched and that you're miserable and that you're poor and you're blind and you're naked. He says, you have a need here. Understand, you need me every single day. And that key of necessity will open up that door. It will help us understand that God is able. The story of the Christian life is not that I can, but it's I can't. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, but I cannot do anything spiritually without God. I have nothing, and you have that key, and you approach Him like that. I have nothing to offer. He opens up the door of prayer, and this is what I want for you. This is what I desire for you. Last but not least, we see the key of importunity. Now, that is not a normal word that we hear in today's day and time. We see the key of opportunity, the key of charity, the key of necessity. We see the key of importunity. I know this is an idea that we continue on and that we never give up and we continue on knocking. It means even if it seems like things are not going your way, you keep praying. Keep believing that God can do only what God can do. Say, Pastor, if He hasn't answered my prayer, why should I keep on praying? This is the illustration here. Remember, there's comparisons and contrasts. God is not like the friend that's laying in the bed and saying, forget it. I'm already in bed. I don't want to help you. Remember, He's the God that's sitting on the eternal throne. He is always alert. He is always awake. He tells us to cast our cares upon Him. There is a contrast between the two that are here. The great truth is that prayer is the key that opens the door of heaven. We must learn to pray. We must learn to receive all that God has for us. And as we enter into His presence, we get the opportunity to receive those things that He desires, teach us those things He wants us to learn. But we first must understand understand the opportunity. We must unlock it with the key of charity and unlock it with the key of necessity. And in parables, there's often comparisons, but there's also times of contrast. When you look at this, see this man, his friend, is the opposite of God. Our God's not sleeping. This man's in bed. Our God is not ignoring our needs. He's interested. He's alert. He's sitting on the throne of heaven. Our God is not angry that you came. He's happy that you came. Our God is greater than this man and in this man in every single way. You think this man is ready to break down and ready to give things to you just because you knock and say, hey, you need to help me. You need to help me. I don't have any other choice. And you feel pity on him. He says, fine, I'll just get out of bed and then I will come and I will help you, but I'm not going to be happy about it. No, our God says, I have this for you. I desire this for you. This is a blessing. Now enter into those things that I want for you. Instead of holding on to all those things that you think you need and you think is what is best, instead seek after God and ask God to give you his best. There's what a preacher said, God is more ready to hear than we are ready to pray. I thought about that. God is interested. He's on that porch like the prodigal son's father, and he's there and he's waiting and he's interested in hearing our prayers. Don't stop praying. The importunity is continue. Look what it says in verse 9 and 10. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. You see, there's a progression. First you ask, and if you don't get it, you keep on seeking. If you don't seek, then you begin knocking. And it says, for everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. And we see this thought. And in Luke chapter 18, you can go ahead and turn over just a few pages. We see that parable, the one that we didn't study this past Wednesday. And I think it's in one of your notes for the week. It says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. This was the portion of it. I want people to understand this truth. I want you always to pray. I don't want you to get discouraged. I don't want you to faint. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Is God a picture of the judge? Of course he's not. That's what he says in verse number 6. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, the Son of Man cometh. Shall he find faith on the earth? He's saying that there's people that don't pray like that. When he returns, will Jesus find you praying like that? Talks about a preacher or a missionary, I'm not sure, but I read that he used to walk up to people and saying, are you praying right now? And he said, what do you mean? Well, we're supposed to be praying without ceasing. Am I meeting you in a time of prayer? Constantly walking with God, speaking to God, being able to commune with God on a daily basis. And he's saying, will the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Will there be people who are praying? Will there be people who are saying, will Jesus find you praying? One of the secrets to unlock the answered prayers is the consistency in prayer. This parable that we're reading in Luke 11 had to learn it. If they had to learn it in Luke chapter 18, if Jesus is teaching his disciples this as they've grown in their faith and come from kindergarten and elementary school, now they're maybe in graduate school, he's learning these important truths. Hey, some of us are still in kindergarten. Hey, give me this, give me that, give me this. Yeah, I should be nice to people. But he's saying, Lord, teach us to pray. And we learn the basics once again. But he begins to say, you want to take it a step farther? Learn now about the opportunity that's there for you. You want to take it a step farther? Learn how to unlock the door of charity and how as you pray for others, you will change your view. God will be able to change you. You'll be compassionate. And then you become someone that understands the necessity. As I'm being compassionate to someone, I understand that I can't help that individual. I understand that I'm poor in spirit and that I need the Lord and I need God in every way. And then I become consistent. And I continually, consistently. And that's what he's saying. It's a growth pattern that we don't want to keep on praying like we're in kindergarten. Instead, we want to continue to learn and grow so we can enter into everything God has planned for us, everything God desires for us. That's why we had to deal with our sin in verse number 4. Forgive us of our sins. But it's so much more than that. God, I don't want that. Lord, lead me not into temptation. God, keep me away from the temptation. But I must be right with everyone else in order for that to happen. Now, you might not be right in their mind, but you can do what's right in God's mind, in God's eyes. You can forgive and you can treat others like that the way you should. Jesus was teaching his disciples. I think we need to learn it also. There is a God in heaven that wants to answer a prayer. Why doesn't he do it immediately is the question that people answer. He knows what's best for us because God will always do what is right at the right time. He will always answer the right way at the right time. And it's not always when we need it. But I want it right now. If I had it right now, then I would be willing to do anything God asked me to do. Well, how many times has God answered your prayer and then the next day, I wasn't willing to do whatever God asked me to? In the delay, God is working out greater things in your life. You say, Pastor, how can you know that for sure? Because God's will for your life is greater than anything in this world, greater than anything you can even imagine or think. And what prayer, I truly believe, boils down to is we're entering into what God desires for us. We praise him, we surrender to him, we get our hearts right, and then we ask him to lead us because, God, I can't do this on my own. And then we begin our petitions. And yes, then we begin to pray supplications. And then, yes, we praise him and we thank him for all the things. Prayer is multifaceted, but it's speaking to God. Let him lead and guide you in your prayers. And I feel like in my life, as I go, and I hear about prayer and I hear teaching and preaching and I read and I journal and I say other things, I miss so much because I think if he pulled back that veil in my life, I'd be like, God, you want to do all that with me? And because I wasn't surrender and I wasn't on praying ground and I wasn't seeking you like I should, I missed all of that that you wanted for me? I tell you, it convicts me, makes me want to do better. But is it going to make me want to better tomorrow morning when it's time to pray again? Is it going to make me want to do better and make sure my relationships are clean and right and that I'm going to forsake sin and I'm going to pray something like, and lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil, keep me from those things, God. Am I going to set up safeguards and other things so that way I can know what God's will is and what God desires for me? Remember, prayer is us just declaring, God, I'm dependent upon you. Lead me and guide me. And I think so many times people think our prayer lives, oh, sometimes I wish God would just answer my prayers. I wish God would just give me what I want. I know why God's withholding it from me. We're missing the whole point of prayer. As we enter into communing with God and say, God, you know what is right for me. You know what is best for me. I want to find out what you want for me in my life. Instead of it being more, God, give me what I want. It's, God, show me what you want for me. Because it's not about me getting my will done in heaven. It's about God's will getting done in earth. And the only person we can control that with is ourselves. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I know that's the Matthew 6 one. That's one I know a little bit better quoted wise. But at the same time, if we want God's will done in people's lives, in our church's life, you want God's will done in your own life. I want God's will done in the pastor's life. He's the preacher. He's the one I have to listen to every week. I want God. Great. Make sure you pray individually too. God, I just want to know what you want for me. I'm entering prayer and looking and I'm understanding. God, would you, as the disciples said, teach us to pray? That's the whole point. You're not going to learn it all in just one sermon. It's day by day, give us this our daily bread. It's a learning, growing process. But I wonder how many of us have really matured in the last month, week, or the last year in our prayer lives. Hopefully you can say, I have. But I bet you many of us have become cold It's become mechanical. It's not really communing with God. Sometimes it might just be a religious speech. Sometimes it can be like what Luke 18 is. He's praying with ourselves. God's nowhere near the prayer meeting because we've lost sight of who God is. And for the others that are praying and seeking the Lord, we can always learn and grow. Remember, the disciples have been used by God in a mighty way at this point in time. They saw something different because they knew there was more about the prayer life of Jesus than there was their own prayer life. Lord, teach us to pray. So I'm praying that today and tomorrow and the next day, we say, Lord, teach us to pray. Because when we're praying, that's when we'll have a better understanding of what God wants for us. Let's pray. Dearly Father, Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this story. Lord, I thank you for the keys that you've given us. Lord, the opportunity, the key of opportunity, Lord, it opens up so much. The key of charity, Lord, how it changes us and we see as God sees. Lord, the key of sufficiency or the insufficiency that we have, that we are nothing without you. That importunity, Lord, that we keep on coming. Thank you for saying, I know sometimes people say, well, if I already prayed for something once, why do I need to pray? He tells us to ask. He tells us to come. He tells us to give us this day our daily bread. Lord, it's a day by day thing. Lord, help us to seek after you. And if we have a desire that you're not meeting, Lord, let's ask you to change us or for you to answer that prayer. Lord, I pray that today's sermons and this more importantly, your word would encourage us and motivate us to breathe this prayer. Lord, teach me to pray. That we won't get stuck on it's the same passage we've heard preached before. And we won't get stuck on the fact that we think we know everything there is when it comes to prayer. But instead, Lord, I want whatever you want from me. I just want to enter into what you desire. And Lord, with an honest and pure heart, God, will you reveal your will unto me? Lord, teach me to pray. In Jesus' name, amen.